الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our discussion with regards to the events that occurred in the second year. The events that occurred in the second year after the Hijrah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions radiallahu anhum. And we review those lines that we had taken in the previous class and we summarized them bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. And the nalim, he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, وغزوة الأبواء بعد في صفر هذا وفي الثانية الغزو اشتهر إلى بواط ثم بدر ووجب تحول القبلة في نصف رجب من بعد ذي العشير يا إخواني وفرض شهر الصوم في شعبان والغزوة الكبرى التي ببدر في الصوم في سابع عشر الشهر. And the author is mentioning here that in the month of As-Safar, the battle of Al-Abwa occurred, Ghazwatul Abwa, the place which is between Mecca and Medina. And this was a military excursion that the believers, they set out on in chase of some caravan from Quraysh, but they did not catch up with them and there was no battle. And this was in Safar. And in reality, we see that this is in the second year of the Hijrah, because from those scholars who specialize in history and in the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are those who count the years from Al-Muharram, which is the first year in the Islamic calendar, and there are those who count the year from the month of Hijrah. So those who see that the Hijrah occurred in Rabiul Awwal, they will consider that the events will occur in this year according to that month. Then others who see, like the author, that the Hijrah occurred in Safar, then they will count the events from the beginning of Safar in this manner. So from here, there are slight differences of opinion in these years. But we see, and Allah knows best, the majority of the scholars, they consider Al-Muharram to be the first month to consider the years after Hijrah. So therefore, Safar will be in the second year. This event here, Al-Abwa in Safar, is in the second year likewise. Then the author, he mentions that after this, in the second year, the battles and the military excursions, they became well known. And then after this, after Al-Abwa, which was in Safar in the second year of the Hijrah, there was another military excursion. And this was it, the excursion in Buwat. And likewise, there was no fighting. It was an event that occurred and there was no fighting. And Buwat, Ghazwatul Buwat, this occurred in Rabi' al-Thani. And then after this, the author, he mentioned the Ghazwatu Badr al-Ula. Ghazwatu Badr al-Ula, the first battle of Badr. And it's known as Badr, Ghazwatu Badr al-Ula aw al-Sughra, the minor military excursion, or the first battle of Badr. And we have seen what occurred here whenever Qurs ibn Jabir, who later became a Muslim radiallahu anhu, at this time he was a disbeliever and he came and stole many of the animals and the camels and the likes from the believers, and he fled and they chased after him until close to Badr, and for this reason it was known as the Battle of Badr. But likewise, there was no fighting here. This occurred in Jumada al-Akhirah, and it's also known as Ghazwatu Safawan, because this is the place that it occurred as well. There's a place near Badr called Safawan. But the battle of Safawan, or the battle of Badr al-Sughra, the minor battle here that's being referred to, the author, he says, then the changing of the Qibla occurred in the middle of Rajab, min ba'di dhil ushayri, ya ikhwani, after the al-Ushayr. After the Al-Ushayr, oh my brothers. Dhu Al-Ushayr is another military excursion that occurred. And this event occurred in Jumada Al-Ula. So now we want to summarize these events. So we see these events here. The first one is Al-Abwa. And this occurred in Safar in the second year. This was a military excursion. Whenever they went out to the area of Al-Abwa. And there was no battle and no fighting here. And this was in Safar in the second year. And then the next event was Buwat, the Ghazwa of Buwalt, another military excursion. This one occurred in Rabi' al-Thani. In Rabi' al-Thani. And likewise, there was no fighting here as well. And then the third military excursion that also occurred in the second year, Dhul Ushayr. Dhul Ushayr. And this also known as Dhul Ushayrah. Dhul Ushayrah. All of these terms have been mentioned. And Dhul Ushayr is a place that is close to Yanbu' today. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went out there in this particular excursion himself with his companions. And they did not meet any enemies. Rather, they made a truce with one of the tribes. And this was in Jumada al-Ula. In Jumada al-Ula. And then after that, by 10 days, there was the Battle of Badr in Jumada al-Akhirah. And this is also known as the Battle of Safawan. And then after that, in the month of Rajab, was the changing of the Qibla. Was the changing of the Qibla. And then after that, in the month of Sha'ban, the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan was established. So these events here, they occur in this order. First, Al-Abwa in the month of Safar. And then Buwalt in the month Rabi' al-Thani. And then Dhul Ushayr in the month Jumada al-Ula. And then Badr al-Ula in Jumada al-Akhirah. And then Tahwir al-Qibla in Rajab. And then Fard al-Siyam, Siyam Ramadan, the obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan in Sha'ban. So these events, they occurred in this order. Safar, then Rabi' al-Thani, then Jumad al-Ula, then Jumad al-Akhirah, then Rajab, and then Sha'ban. And then Sha'ban. So this is what the author, he is referring to here. The obligation of fasting the month of Ramadan was established in Sha'ban. In Sha'ban. All of this is in the second year. And that means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he fasted a total of 9 Ramadans. He fasted a total of 9 Ramadan. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam as-sama, an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as-sama 9 Ramadanat. Sama an-nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam 9 Ramadanat. Wa hadhihi sana hiya al-ula lis-siyam. The second year is the first year of fasting. The second year is the first year of the obligation of fasting. We have to ponder and reflect, my noble and beloved children and students of knowledge, that before this, the obligation of fasting Ramadan was not established. There was no Qiyam al-Layl. There was no Zakat al-Fitr. There was no fasting in the month of Ramadan. This was not known. Just as before the Hijrah and before the Isra and the Miraj, the obligation of establishing the prayer was not known. So this religion is established little by little. And the revelation came little by little in the most beautiful manner until the law of Al-Islam and the legislation of Al-Islam was completed and perfected in the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But now we pay attention likewise, we are in the portion of the biography of the noble messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Al-Hijrah. And this is, as we have seen, after the Pledge of Allegiance with the Ansar. After the Pledge of Allegiance with the Ansar, those two tribes of Aws and Khazraj, they had pledged allegiance that they would defend and aid the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with their lives, and they will protect him the same way they protect their own lives and their own children and their own family and loved ones, and that they would aid him and support him, and that they believe in him and they would aid him and support him and defend him. And they now, after the Hijrah, had established a base and a home of stability and the center for establishing the Islamic call. So now we see that the legislation of Al-Islam starts to unfold time after time, obligation after obligation. But I want you to realize now that before this, there was no obligation. Before this, they were not fasting Ramadan. And this is how their religion is established, by these great efforts of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. And these are the events that occurred until the religion of Al-Islam that we know today is established and perfected and completed and well known. So here the author, he says now, وَالْغَزْوَةُ الْكُبْرَى الَّتِي بِبَدْرِ فِي الصَّوْمِ فِي سَبِعِ أَشْرِ الشَّهْرِ وَوَجَبَتْ فِيهِ زَكَاةُ الْفِطْرِ مِنْ بَعْدِ بَدْرٍ بِلَيَالٍ عَشْرِ وَفِي زَكَاةِ الْمَالِ خُلْفٌ فَدْرِ وَمَاتَتْ ابْنَةُ النَّبِيِّ الْبَرِّ رقية قبل رجوع السفر زوجة عثمان وعرس الطهر فاطمة على علي القدر وأسلم العباس بعد الأسر وقينقاع غزوهم في الإثر وبعد ضحى يوم عيد النحر وغزوة السويق ثم قرقرة والغزو في الثالثة المشتهرة. And now the author, he is referring to more events that occurred in the second year. And now الغزوة الكبرى التي ببدر, the major battle of Badr, which was in Badr. And this is the well-known battle of Badr. And this is the first of the great battles of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it occurred in Ramadan. We see that just previously in Sha'ban, the obligation of fasting occurred. And then in the middle of Ramadan, on the 17th, the first of the greatest battles occurred just after that, in the month of fasting, in the 17th of Ramadan. And what had happened is that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about Abu Sufyan, and they had a great caravan, and they're coming back from Sham. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard about that, and he set out in pursuit to catch up with them. And then Abu Sufyan, he heard of the Muslims coming to intercept him, and therefore he sent a runner to call out and to go to Quraysh and to warn them of the coming of the Muslim army to intercept and to capture the caravan. And Abu Sufyan, he's coming from Sham, and he has all these goods and all these beneficial items and the likes with this on his camels. And the Muslims, they heard about this, that they were on their way back. So they set out with only a few numbers, maybe 300 or so, until they came to the area of Badr and they met the army. But what had happened is that Abu Sufyan, he had heard of them coming. So therefore he sent someone to cry out to Quraysh and to go to them and warn them. And so they had gathered their soldiers and their army and they had come to defend the caravan. And Abu Sufyan, he's very clever and smart with regards to war tactics and also with traveling and going through the lands. And he took a secret path different than normal. He took another path different than normal, and he went on the side of the coast and he fled and got away, and the Muslims did not catch them. So many of the mushrikun, they turned around and they went back because their caravan was safe. But others, they said, no, we're going to stay and we're going to destroy them and wipe them out. So they proceeded to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to engage them in battle. And this occurred in the Battle of Badr. And there are so many amazing events that occurred in this battle. And the Muslims, they were outnumbered. And they were few in number, and the disbelievers, they were many, and they had great weapons and soldiers with them, and the likes like this, and they're ready to fight. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the believers. And just before the two armies met, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking through the ranks of the believers, and he was telling his companions that they're promised a victory tomorrow, and that you see that place right there, this is where so-and-so is going to die. And so-and-so, the great enemy of Allah, is going to be killed right there. And over there, that's where so-and-so is going to be killed. وَهَذَا مَسْرَعْ فُلَانِ وَهَذَا مَقْتَلْ فُلَانِ And he's naming the names of the biggest leaders and one of the most strong and powerful from Quraysh that are fighting the believers the most. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's saying that right there, that place right over there, that's where so-and-so is going to be killed. That place right over there, the great enemy of Allah, that's where so-and-so is going to be killed. And it happened exactly like that the next day. And the believers, they had great victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided the believers in a great, great, great manner. And likewise, Quraysh, they came with great wealth and they came with lots of animals and with weapons and the likes like this. And the believers, they took all of that from the spoils of war. And likewise, this day is known as Yawm al-Furqan. Yawm al-Furqan, the day of criterion and the day of decision and the day whatever the truth is separated and clarified and distinguished from the falsehood. And many of the great leaders of Quraysh, they died in that battle and they lost. And the believers had a great, great victory. And it was after this battle that now the pagans from the Arab and from Quraysh specifically, they began to fear the Muslims. Al-Islam now has a great status in the area and in the land now, and their people are saying, oh no, they're not playing anymore. This is getting very serious. And now that the people started to respect Islam, and they started to respect the Muslims, and they were afraid to harm the believers anymore, because before they were weak, but now they're not weak anymore. Rather, they're winning battles. Rather, they had defeated the greatest of the enemies out of Islam in this battle. And the believers, they had killed 70. In this battle, they killed 70 of the disbelievers, and they took 70 of them captive. 70 of them were killed in that battle from the disbelievers, and 70 of them were taken captive. And this was in Ramadan, in the 17th day. Then the author, he mentions, وَوَجَبَتْ فِيهِ زَكَاتُ الْفِطْرِ مِنْ بَعْدِ بَدْرٍ بِلَيَالٍ عَشْرِ. And it was after Badr, by 10 days, that the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr was made. So Badr was in the 17th day. So 10 days later, which would be on the 27th, we would be on the 27th, the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr was established. The obligation of paying the Zakat al-Fitr, sa'im min ta'am, sa'im min sha'ir, sa'im min zabib, or tamr, or aqt, as has come upon every Muslim person, male and female, old and young, freed and slave, all of them, they have to pay Zakat al-Fitr. All of them, they must pay Zakat al-Fitr, showing thanks to Allah Azza wa Jal for the completion of the fast of the month of Ramadan. This was established in this month, at this time, in this year, in the second year of the Hijrah, just after the battle of Badr by 10 days, just before Eid al-Fitr by maybe 3 days, And then the author, he says, وَفِي زَكَاتِ الْمَالِ خُلْفٌ فَدْرِي. And with regards to the zakat on the wealth, there's a difference of opinion. Zakat al-mal is different from zakat al-fitr. Zakat al-fitr is zakat al-badin. It's the zakat that's performed for everybody. And as for zakat al-mal, it's the zakat that's on the wealth. Zakat al-badin is an obligation upon everybody. And zakat al-mal is an obligation upon the wealth if it reaches a particular amount. So the people of knowledge, they differed with regards to when the obligation of zakat al-mal was established. And Allah knows best the details of zakat and mal, the details of the nisab and the different types of wealth, and the amount that the wealth must reach, and the amount that one must pay if his wealth reaches that particular amount. All of these details were clarified here in the second year, in the second year after the Hijrah. As for the general legislation of zakat, then no doubt it was likewise obligatory in Mecca, although the details were not present. The details of the law of zakat were not established in Mecca. It was just a general ruling for the obligation of giving charity. And this is because there are verses revealed about the obligation of zakat that are considered Mekkiyah. So therefore, this obligation was established in Mecca. But the details of those verses and the details of this law, the law and the legislation of zakat, was established after Hijrah, in the second year, and Allah knows best. وَفِي زَكَاتِ الْمَالِ خُلْفٌ خُلْفٌ يعني اختلافاً, difference of opinion, فَدْرِي, that you must know. وَمَاتَتْ إِبْنَةُ النَّبِيِّ الْبَرِّ رُقَيَّةٌ قَبْلَ رُجُوعِ السَّفْرِ. And then the author, he mentions also another event that occurred all at the same time, that the daughter of the noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she died. Ruqayya bint Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha, she died before returning back from the travel. And it was from the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if he had a military excursion and he engaged the enemy in battle and he had victory over the enemy, that he would remain in the battlefield, in the area of that battle, for 3 days, and then he would return home. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would engage the enemy in battle, after battle he would remain in the place of battle for 3 days, remaining there, collecting and gathering the troops and gathering the spoils of war and tending to the wounded and the likes like this, and likewise letting the presence be known that the believers, they have conquered and won, and that they are strong and they are not afraid. And then after 3 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will return and leave the battlefield. So after Badr, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he remained there for 3 days, and then he returned home. And on his return home, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sent out two callers to hasten and to race to Al-Madinah, and to precede them and to give the people of Al-Madinah glad tidings. And he sent Abdullah ibn Rawaha to the highlands of Al-Madinah, and he sent Zayd ibn Haritha to the lowlands of Al-Madinah, and both of them are coming and preceding the army in order to inform the people of Medina of the great victory, and to give them the glad news and the glad tidings of the great victory that the believers obtained in the Battle of Badr. And it has been mentioned by Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma that the one who came giving them the glad tidings had reached them just as they had buried the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's returning from the Battle of Badr, but before he makes it back to Medina, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ruqayya, she had already died, and the companions, they had already prayed on her and buried her radiallahu anha. And the author, he's referring to this, and he says, وَمَاتَتْ إِبْنَةُ النَّبِيِّ الْبَرِّ رُقَيَّةٌ قَبْلَ رُجُوعِ السَّفْرِ زَوْجَةُ عُثْمَانَ. And she was the wife of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, and he is from Al-Khulafa Al-Arba'a, Al-Khulafa Al-Rashideen Al-Mahdiyin, those great leaders of the believers whom we are ordered to follow their way after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the four great leaders of the believers whom we are ordered to follow their way after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman ibn Affan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Uthman to remain behind. Whenever those believers left out in pursuit of the caravan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Uthman, you must stay behind, and you must take care of Ruqayya, and you must take to her needs and help her, and tend to her medical affairs and needs. So therefore Uthman, he stayed behind in the Battle of Badr, because he was ordered by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam to look after his wife. And it's mentioned likewise that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned, he gave Uthman radiallahu anhu a share of the spoils of war, because he will only remain behind because of the order of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all of this occurred in the second year. And then the author, he says, وَعُرُسُ الطُّهْرِ فَاطِمَةٍ عَلَىٰ عَلِيِّ الْقَدْرِ, the pure and the noble marriage of the chaste and righteous and pious woman, Fatima bint Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anha, she was married to Ali, Ali al-Qadr, Ali, the one who has high rank and status, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu ibn Am, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their marriage occurred here at this time, likewise in the second year. And then the author, he mentions another event, and he says, وَأَسْلَمَ الْعَبَّاسُ بَعْدَ الْأَسْرِ. وَأَسْلَمَ الْعَبَّاسُ بَعْدَ الْأَسْرِ. And Al-Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَضِيَ anhu, accepted Islam after captivity. We have seen that in the Battle of Badr, the believers, they killed 70 of the enemy from the disbelievers, and 70 of them they took captive. 70 of them, they had captured them and took them captive. And from those captives was Al-Abbas. And Allah knows best, this was before he had accepted Islam. And it was briefly after that he accepted Islam, radiallahu anhu. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that actually he accepted Islam before that, and he was hiding his Islam in Mecca, afraid from his people, and they forced him to come to the Battle of Badr, and he was a Muslim before that. And others, they said, no, this has not been established. Rather, he was not a believer yet, and it was after captivity. Whenever he was captured in the Battle of Badr, that he then later accepted al-Islam, and Allah knows best. All of this is in the second year. And then after this, the author, he says, وَقَيْنُقَعُ غَزُوهُمْ فِي الْإِثْرِ. And قَيْنُقَعُ غَزُوهُمْ فِي الْإِثْرِ. And غَزْوَةُ قَيْنُقَعُ, this occurred just after the Battle of Badr. And this occurred in Shawwal, in the second year. And this قَيْنُقَعُ, Banu Qaynuqa is a tribe from the Jews. And the Jews in Al-Madinah, in those days, whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated, there were three tribes. Whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, living in Medina in those days were three main tribes of the Jews. There was Banu Qaynuqa, and there was Banu An-Nadhir, and there was Banu Qurayzah. These are the three tribes of Jews that were living in Al-Madinah in the time of the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever he arrived, he made a treaties with them, and he made a truce with them, and he had a contract and covenant with them that they would live peacefully amongst each other, and that they would give each other their rights, and no one would transgress or violate or fight against the other. And that no one would transgress or violate or fight against the other. But we'll see, inshallah, in the biography of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every time there's a major battle, the Jews, they violate his contracts, and they betray that trust, and they go against the believers in betrayal and in treachery. And the first one to violate the trust and to betray that contract and to go against the believers from those tribes is the tribe of Qaynuqa. And this is what the author is referring to here. And it was at the Battle of Badr. At the Battle of Badr, Qaynuqa, they're thinking that the believers are going to be wiped out. So they hurry up and they betray the contract and then violate the trust and they go against their word, believing that the believers are going to be wiped out. But little did they know, the believers, they returned with a great victory. And it was those disbelievers who fleeing, leaving their animals and their weapons and their wounded behind and fleeing for their lives, scared for their lives. And the believers, they came back with a great victory and much war booty and many captives. And then after this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went to their neighborhood and he was going to fight them and destroy them. And then one of the people interceded on their behalf from those who had accepted Islam recently and had been portraying Islam and had a good friendship with those Jews. He begged the Prophet and begged the Prophet and begged the Prophet not to harm them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam exiled them out to Sham. Their whole tribe, all of them were kicked out and they were made to leave. And they were made to leave, and they left out to an area in Sham until eventually they died away and they were destroyed. Alhamdulillah. This is Banu Qaynuqa. Banu Qaynuqa. This happened just after the Battle of Badr likewise. And then he says, Rahimahullah, wa ba'd wa dhaha yawma Eid al-Nahri. And after that, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Eid al-Nahr, on Eid al-Adha, he slaughtered the Udhiyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the legislation of slaughtering the Adahi, those animals that are slaughtered on the day of Eid and the days of Tashriq, as seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from those pious and righteous believers performing this action of worship that has no relationship to Hajj. That has no relationship to Hajj. The Udhiyah is a sacrificial animal that one slaughters on the days of Eid al-Adha, that has no relationship to Hajj. This legislation was legislated in the second year of the Hijrah. In the second year of the Hijrah, whenever Eid al-Adha had come. And this was in the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. In the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. And then after this, the author, he says, وَغَزْوَةُ السَّوِيقِ ثُمَّ قَرْقَرَهُ وَالْغَزْوُ فِي الثَّالِثَةِ الْمُشْتَهِرَةِ. And then after that was the Battle of Sawiq. And then the Battle of Qarqara. And then after that, he mentions the famous battles of the third year. So he closes the events of the second year with the Battle of As-Sawiq. And As-Sawiq is a type of food that's made from wheat and the likes like this, and they mix it together. And it was a type of food that was well known in those days. And this is another military excursion that occurred. Also with Abu Sufyan, after the Battle of Badr. After the Battle of Badr, whenever the disbelievers, they were defeated and they were humiliated, Abu Sufyan, he made an oath that he will not put water on his head, that no water will touch his head until he gets revenge on the believers. And he is so sad and he was so angry, likewise and furious at the defeat that occurred. He was determined to take revenge and to return and to destroy the believers. And it's mentioned he took an oath he would not even wash his head or put water on his head until he takes revenge on the believers. On the believers. So now this is what the author he's referring to. And he came back with an army, about 200 horsemen. And they come just before Medina and they meet one of the tribes from Banu al-Nadir. And they sit with them and they talk with them and get lots of information about the Muslims. And then they spend the night there. And then they raid part of Medina, on the outskirts where the camels are. And they raid that part and they kill one of the Ansar. And then they fled and turned away, trying to steal the camels and the likes like this. And whenever the Prophet ﷺ heard about this and the people in that area, they called for help. And the call reached the believers and they set out in pursuit, chasing after those horsemen and Abu Sufyan. And he fleeing, and they're super scared. And they're so scared, they're like throwing stuff off of their animals so they can lighten their load and run faster. So this is why it's called the Battle of Sawiq, because they had a whole lot of this type of food with them. And they're throwing it, they're getting rid of it off of their animals so they can run faster and faster and faster. And eventually they got away. They chased them all the way to a place called Qarqara al-Qudr. They chased them to this place, and whenever they got there, they had fled too far away, so they left them. But the believers had picked up all of those items that those disbelievers had left behind and thrown off of their animals in order to lighten their load. And for this reason, it was called the Battle of Sawiq. The Battle of Sawiq, because this was the main type of food that they had thrown off and left behind, and that the believers, they had gained as war booty in this excursion. The author, he is mentioning here that these are two battles. The Battle of Sawiq, and then after that, the Battle of Qarqara. But Allah knows best, this is one battle. It is not two battles. It is the Battle of Sawiq, and it's also known as the Battle of Qarqara al-Qudr, because this excursion occurred, and they chased after them until they reached this place of Qarqara al-Qudr. Of Qarqara al-Qudr. And then whenever they reached that place there, they turned back because they were not able to catch up with them. And it's called Sawiq, the Battle of Sawiq, because that was the main item that they were casting off of their backs and leaving behind in order to lighten their load. And these are the events of the second year. The author, rahimahullah, he mentioned 14 of them. And inshallah, in our class to come, we begin the events of the third year. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And I remind all of the noble students that these are the best days of the year, and the actions of worship and the good deeds are more beloved to Allah in these days than any other days, and that we should not treat these days like just any other days. And it's been mentioned about Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullah, أنه كان يجتهد فيها اجتهادا شديدا حتى كاد لا يقدر عليه, that he would strive in these days in the greatest manner until he's almost not able to do any more. So we should increase in worship in these days, and the recitation of the Quran, and performing the obligatory prayer in the proper time and the proper manner, and the sunnah prayer likewise, and the night prayer as well, and being kind to our parents and giving charity and all of the good deeds, we do them even more and as much as we can. Fasting for those who can fast, all of this, especially fasting on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, the day before Eid, which will be next Tuesday, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, yawm al-thulatha al-qadim, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.